That's not the regular music. That's the game show music. Which means I am your game show host this hour, Cy Kellett. And we have two contestants in studio, and it is going to be a rocking game show today. I think the questions are really hard, so get out a piece of paper and a pencil, and gather grandma and grandpa and the kids around the radio, and you can play along at home. See who really knows their stuff about the early church, because all the questions are about the earliest years of the Catholic Church. You can probably guess why. Oh, well, in case you can't, we're having a big conference coming up called The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. And so we're taking the occasion of this game show to kind of promote that a little bit and to tie in with that. Our special, our super secret celebrity guest is the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. He's got a brand new, I got to reach over here and get it. He's got a brand new CD called What Lies Beyond, Understanding Purgatory, Heaven, and Hell. Carlo Broussard, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Cy. I'll affirm the secret guess, but take out the celebrity part.
Okay. Well, you're always our first choice.
That's too high of a standard, man. I can't reach that.
You know you're always our first choice for the game show.
Well, thank you, Cy. I'll be sure not to let the other guys know.
Okay. Yes, especially Tim Staples. Don't let him know. We will meet our contestants momentarily, and then I will go over the rules, and then the fun begins. As I said, get pencil and paper ready. You're going to want to play along at home. I don't know who's contestant number one and who's contestant number two. I'm just going to go by who's closest to me then, because it does become important if there's a tie. That's the only time it becomes important. So you will be contestant number one. And contestant number one, who are you and what's interesting about you?
Hi, my name is Megan. And one interesting fact about me is that I was just received into the Catholic Church this Easter.
Yay! Yay, if Nick was here, we'd have cheering sound effects for that. But Darren is filling in for Nick. Which parish were you here in San Diego?
Yes, at the Immaculata. So I hope that I win and don't embarrass my RCIA director.
Yes. If you lose, can we name your RCIA director on the air?
No, we'll think about it.
But she actually does have something else interesting, right?
Yes,
I do. Yes, I have what I think is the best last name for a convert.
Best last name for a convert to the Catholic Church?
Yes.
Is it Mary and Joseph?
It is not.
It is not. What is your last name?
Luther.
Luther. We need, you know what? We need
That's
more
great.
Luthers in the Catholic
That's
Church.
That's great. Amen.
Happy to have you, Megan. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You will be contestant number two.
Yes.
And who are you and what's interesting about you?
My name is Moises. I am a student at JP Catholic, which is only up the street in Escondido.
We got to say the full name because people, we got to give them their props.
Oh,
John
yeah.
Paul.
John Paul the Great Catholic University.
Yep. Up in Escondido here.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to know something interesting about me. I recently got engaged.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and you met my fiance, well, my now fiance, a few months back before we were engaged. So shout out to Madeline Peterson.
Oh, okay. So we met at a dinner for the Children of the Immaculate Heart.
Yes.
By the way, let me give another shout out. If you don't know about the Children of the Immaculate Heart, go on the internet and find out about the Children of the Immaculate Heart. Grace and all the women there at Children of the Immaculate Heart are spending their lives helping people who are survivors of sex trafficking. They do so with all the resources that are at their disposal, and they do so with a heart of faith in the love of Jesus Christ to heal anybody at any time. And that's so nice that you were there. I mean, I had to be there. I was emceeing the event, but God bless you for going, Moises.
Yeah, it was a fun event.
Yeah, and they're good people.
That's pretty good that you remembered meeting his fiance.
Well, until he said her name, I was like, I don't know who this guy is engaged to. But then he said her name, I was like, okay, no, I remember meeting Moises.
Awesome.
That's why I gave him the answers.
I was about to say, that's
so,
not good,
Megan,
man.
Welcome to
you
the Catholic
slipped
Church,
them the answers.
Where
the,
everything is rigged against you. I got to go over the rules with the two of you. There's a lot of rules to being Catholic, as you have found out. You've been through RCIA,
yeah.
Right? You got to follow all the rules. Name one rule. Can you think of a rule that you have to follow to be Catholic?
A rule that you have to follow to be Catholic.
Yeah. Oh, boy, this was good RCIA you went through.
Yeah.
Can you think of anything?
I mean,
thou shalt not
kill.
Okay, good for you, Megan. All right. Okay, here's the rules. There will be three rounds of the game show. The last round is called Final Judgment. In order for you to make it to Final Judgment, you have to win the first two rounds. Okay, so after the first two rounds, one of you will be given a wonderful prize and asked to leave. Okay, it'll be nice. It'll be very polite the way we do it, but you'll be asked to leave. The other one will play Final Judgment. All right, and I'll go over the rules for Final Judgment when we get there. In the first round, it will each receive three multiple choice questions, and you get 1 point for each one you get right. In the second round, it's exactly the same. You each get three multiple choice questions and 1 point for each one you get right. Whoever has the most points at the end of two rounds goes to their final judgment. If it is a tie, Megan is contestant number one. She will pick one of these two boxes, and inside of it, it will tell us who is the winner, the one that you pick. Okay? Can you handle that responsibility?
Yes.
Okay. It's like when you go on an airplane.
I was thinking the same thing.
Can you sit in that row? Are you able to open a door? Can you sit in that row?
You read my mind.
Yeah, I always say yes, because I like that legroom.
Amen.
Carlo knows what I'm talking about. He travels all the time. Okay, so there's one other rule that I have to get clear to you. You have two lifelines. Mm. Once you have used one, it's gone. You don't get it back in the second round. And you can't use any of them in the third round. There's no life. So use up your two lifelines. They are as follows. And this is primarily why Carlo Broussard, the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, is here. Because lifeline number one is you can ask him to whittle your multiple choice question down to just two answers. So it's you just have two choices left. All right, he'll take away one of the choices. The other thing that you can ask Carlo to do is just give you the correct answer. If you just feel stumped, just ask him to give you the correct answer. There is, however, a catch. Carlo has to give it to you in Pig Latin.
I was about to say, what, the Pig Latin's gone now? Fantastic.
This is one of my favorite things that ever happens here, is hearing Carlo talk in Pig Latin.
And we must assume that you guys... Because I had to learn what Pig Latin was.
Do you know what Pig Latin is? Do either of you know what Pig Latin is?
Fully fluent.
You're yes. Fully fluent in Pig Latin?
Oh, wow.
Moises?
So you say a word and you use the last letter of in the front or in the back, or it's something weird like that.
Yeah, you know about it as much of it as Carlo does. You're supposed to take the first letter, put it on the end. So like school, you take the first letter, then the S, and you put it on the end, and then you add the sound A.
So school say.
No.
Cool say
is school. Am I right about that, Erica? Well, you're fluent, Megan. Is that, did I do that right?
I think your pronunciation was beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm very proud of my Pig Latin. Are you guys ready? You guys ready
yes.
to start?
Yep.
All right.
Let's do it.
Contestant number one, your first question of round one. The first bishop of Rome after the death of Peter was A, John, B, Linus, C, we have no historical record of this. The first bishop of Rome, if you're playing at home, I like to repeat them for you. The first bishop of Rome after the death of Peter was A, John, B, Linus, C, we have no historical record of this.
That would be B, Linus.
All Woo-hoo! Right, we'll go Immaculata job, RCIA teachers.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you just guess at that or did you know that? Like,
I knew that, yeah.
Nice, very nice. Darren told me that one of the answers should have been Schroeder. I should have put, because, do you know why?
No.
You don't? Oh, Charlie Brown, Linus, and Schroeder. But I thought that might, anyway, going on to contestant number two. Your first question, contestant number two. Are you ready, contestant number two, Moises?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Mm-hmm. Which of the following is the name of an early pope? A, Clement. B, Matthew. C, Timothy. Which of the following is the name of an early pope? A, Clement, B, Matthew, C, Timothy.
A, Clement.
Ding, fantastic. Yeah, so both of these questions, we actually get knowledge of this all the way back from AD 180 from St. Irenaeus of Lyon and his great work Against Heresies. He tells us how the blessed apostles founded the church in Rome. And the bishopric went to Linus, succeeding Peter, And then he tells us to him succeeded Anacletus, and after him, in the third place from the apostles, Clement was allotted the bishopric. And both Linus and Clement are mentioned in scripture in a variety of, a couple of places, different places. At least it's believed to be those two.
Mentioned. Is Anacletus sometimes called Cletus? Is that though?
In one of the listing of the popes that we do find, you do have a Cletus and an Anacletus as separate two individuals. So there's a bit of a discrepancy in the listing of the popes. But this list from St. Irenaeus, he just has Anacletus.
All right. Well, you can probably get, I've already told you why our theme for today is the early church, because our big conference this year is themed The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. It's September 26th through 29th at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla in beautiful and sunny San Diego. Our celebrity guest, Carla Broussard, will be giving a talk on, what are you talking on?
The early church's view of the sacraments.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll be surveying what the early church fathers, first, second, third, fourth centuries, had to say about baptism, the Eucharist, confession, and the other sacraments as well. So,
all right. I was getting nervous as you talked about it, that because there's some questions on that very topic coming up. So I was scared you were going to say some stuff.
Right.
But you did good. You
did, I did all right.
You did all right.
I didn't give any answers away, right?
Tim Staples will be there. Jimmy Akin will be giving a talk and leading square dancing. Trent Horn will be there. We've got wonderful guests for you. Monsignor Eugene Morris, Father David McConey. Rod Bennett's going to be there. And one of the prizes today is Rod Bennett's book. Bishop Frank Caggiano from Bridgeport, Connecticut is going to be there. We're going to do the radio show twice. We'll do it in the foyer on Thursday, and then we do the big show on Friday, where everybody gets to just come up and ask questions. Early bird pricing ends July 2nd, which sounds like a long way off, but it's not. It's a few days from now. So you want to get your tickets soon. Seats are limited. I looked into this. This is true. Seats are limited.
Let's fill them up.
That's actually true of every event that's ever been held, however, because that's an empirical fact. Seats are limited. Full conference ticket includes the banquet dinner and keynote address by Bishop Caggiano. $154 a night for the room. That's for our block of rooms, and we are over 90% full on those.
Oh, wow.
So you, not only do you get the early bird special, but you'll be able to get a room if you do that soon. CatholicAnswersConference.com is the place to go. CatholicAnswersConference.com. And at the end of this program, during Final Judgment, I don't know if anybody told you this, but you guys will be playing. The person who's left at Final Judgment will be playing for a free ticket. What's up? That's right.
Wow.
And I'll find out at the break if that includes dinner. I don't know if it does. We might not be feeding you. I don't know. Does it? Oh, she says it does. I guess it has to now that I said that. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll finish the game show. We'll be coming back.
Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The best way to pray is simply to open our minds and our hearts to God, to allow His presence to begin to fill us, to restore us, to refresh us, to make us new. The best way to pray is simply to be aware of that presence and to say yes to it, to give fiat to that presence, as our Blessed Lady did. In that way, we delight in prayer, and God Himself delights in us.
Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Game Show. Carlo Broussard, our special guest, and our contestants are Megan and Moises. We are in the midst of round one, and Megan, time for your second question. You ready?
Yes.
All right, Megan. Which sacraments were founded personally by Jesus? A, baptism, Eucharist, and Holy Orders. B, baptism, Eucharist, and Confirmation. C, all seven. Megan, which sacraments were founded personally by Jesus? A, baptism, Eucharist, and Holy Orders. B, baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation, or C, all seven? It's radio, so you don't have to, you know, if we just all sit here quietly while you think, that's perfectly fine. Especially for the people at home. That is just fun. I don't know.
Can I think out loud? Is that?
Yeah, go ahead. Think out loud. Oh, that's good.
You have lifelines.
No, I like this thinking out loud thing.
I forgot about the lifelines. Okay. Can I have the choices one more time?
Yes, you can. As the people, if you're playing along at home, the question was, which sacraments were founded personally by Jesus? A, baptism, Eucharist, and holy orders. B, baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. C, all seven.
Okay. I want to say...
You can think out aloud all you want, and then I'll say final answer. I'll say, is that your final answer? It'll be like that TV show.
I want to say C, all of them.
You do? Okay, is that your final answer? Is it? Is that your final answer?
Okay,
is it?
So,
look at my face. Is that your
final answer? That is my final answer.
Wow!
You got it right. Good job, Megan.
What sound was that? Was that the yes you got it sound or the no?
That was the yes.
Because I got scared. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, you know, actually, I didn't realize this.
Don't worry, Moises. I'm going to help you.
I didn't realize this earlier, but it is a bit tricky because you emphasize personally. And it's true. Jesus personally gave us all seven sacraments. But what you immediately start thinking of is the certain Bible passages.
Exactly.
And you're thinking like, well, I don't know, a confirmation, there's no explicit evidence that Jesus gave it personally, like in the case of the sacrament of confession the Eucharist. So some are more evident than others. And so you begin thinking that. So good job.
That's
you did
exactly
well.
But what did the Council of Trent say about this?
Well, all seven of the sacraments have been given to us by Christ. As the Catechism states in paragraph 1131, the sacraments are efficacious signs of grace instituted by Christ and entrusted to the Church, by which divine life is dispensed to us.
All right, you didn't feel that I helped you at all in any underhanded way.
No, that was all my own knowledge.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, Moises, ready for your question?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Question number two for Moises. Get your pens and pencils ready at home. Which of these is an early heresy combated by the Church? A, monotheism. B, Gnosticism. C, Hellenism. Again, if you're playing along at home, which of these is an early heresy combated by the Church? A, monotheism. B, Gnosticism. Or C, Hellenism.
B, Gnosticism.
Ding! Good job, Moises. Awesome, man.
What is it? What's Gnosticism?
Yeah, well, Gnosticism entailed the belief that matter was evil, spirit was good, and basically we had to do what we could to avoid things of the material world. So you have a hint of this Gnostic influence in the first century. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, where St. Paul talks about those who promote doctrines of demons, motivated by deceitful spirits, those who reject marriage and abstain from certain foods. And then we get a hint that this is what Paul is combating, or the Gnostic belief is what Paul is combating, because he begins to articulate how all things are good which come from God. And so we have a hint that this is probably what Paul was referring to. He wasn't denying celibacy. He wasn't denying abstaining from certain foods at particular times. He was denying those who reject marriage and certain foods because they view matter as evil.
Is it fair to say that the incarnation of Christ is an indication from God that matter is not evil?
You could say it's an affirmation of. I mean, as God creates matter and sustains it in existence, we know it's good coming from the good Creator. So we can know that philosophically. But through the incarnation, you have God supernaturally putting his stamp of approval on that natural truth that we can come to know by the natural light of human reason. Amen. But not only saying it's good, but actually elevating matter and using matter on a whole new level in order to give grace through the sacraments.
Megan, you ready for your third question?
Go for it.
Yeah. I just got to let you know we're on camera right now, so try not to look completely bored when Carlo and I are discussing ancient heresies, all right? Try not to look like you're falling asleep. Okay, Megan, your question. The Gospels were written, A, roughly 30 to 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. B, roughly 1 to 2 centuries after Jesus' death and resurrection. C, it is hard to say because they were written and rewritten so many times. Again, if you're playing along at home, the Gospels were written, A, roughly 30 to 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. B, roughly 1 to 2 centuries after Jesus' death and resurrection. C, it is hard to say because they were written and rewritten so many times.
I'm going to go with A.
Roughly 30 to 60 years.
Good job, Megan. Excellent. Good work.
Got anything to say about that, Carlo? We're paying you money to be here, Carlo. You should have something to say about this.
Yeah, we actually have good evidence for this. For example, Irenaeus, St. Irenaeus in AD 180, once again in that work against heresy, he tells us that Matthew published his gospel among the Hebrews while Peter and Paul were preaching in Rome and founding the church. So that would make it so the Gospel of Matthew would be no later than AD like 67, 68 at the latest, right? But we even could push it back earlier because scholars have good reason to think that the book of Acts was written in AD 62, some will even say AD 60. And since we know that's the sequel to Luke's Gospel, that makes Luke's Gospel about AD 60, AD 59. We know Matthew and Mark wrote before Luke's gospel, so you're putting Matthew and Mark literally within 30 years.
Oh, 30 years.
Within 30 years of Jesus' death and resurrection. So that's a very good thing for us to have as Christians, because the closer the gospels are to the events that they're recording, the more reliable they are in accurately conveying that which Jesus said and did.
You know, we hear about all these lost gospels and Gnostic gospels and stuff like that. How many of them were written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
None.
Oh, okay. Moises, you ready for your third question?
Yeah, ready.
All right. Moises, the last gospel written is usually thought to be the gospel of A, John, B, Luke, C, Matthew. Again, if you're playing along at home, the question is this. The last gospel written is usually thought to be the gospel of A, John, B, Luke, C, Matthew.
A, John.
That is correct.
I feel like we kind of almost gave that away. I was looking over there like, I hope Moises is not listening because we're giving him the answer.
That was, we helped. You helped Megan out a little bit.
I don't think I did help her at all.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Can I say too, Megan did a really good job of looking like she was interested when you were given that answer. Yeah, good work bringing up your game, Megan.
Thank you.
It's 3-3 now, right? Are we tied 3-3? Is anybody keeping
Fantastic.
Score? Okay, we're tied 3-3. Moises. Hitting it out of the park, man. There wasn't even any fear in you. You just knew it.
Yeah, it is interesting, though. You know, so commonly scholars will date John's gospel anywhere around AD 90 to 100, at the end of the first century. However, there are a minority of biblical scholars that give some reasons why they think possibly John may have even written before the destruction of the temple.
Wow, that would make all the Gospels very close to Jesus.
Yeah, it's a very small group, but there are some.
Ah. All right, it's time for round two then. We have arrived at round two. We are tied 3-3 after the first round. Contestant one, Megan, you will go first again. Ready for your first question of round two?
Yes.
By the way, you both have both of your lifelines left, so do not forget, especially please, even if you don't need it, at some point, use the Pig Latin one. I just got to hear Carlo do Pig Latin.
But not on this next one.
Yeah, do it on the ones with really long answers. Megan, the Edict of Milan, A, made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. B, made it legal to practice Christianity throughout the empire. C, created the office of bishop within the church. Once again, for those playing at home, the Edict of Milan. A, made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. B, made it legal to practice Christianity throughout the empire. Or C, created the office of bishop within the church.
I'm going to use one of my lifelines.
All right.
Which one do you want?
I'll use the one where we whittle it down All to right. the two answers.
Okay, so I am going to take away A, made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. So that leaves you with B, made it legal to practice Christianity throughout the empire, or C, created the office of bishop within the church.
That's perfect, because I was going between A and B, so B it is.
All right.
Nicely done. I was hoping you would pick teamwork. A, Carla, because that was definitely the one to
eliminate. I was generous. Yeah. I was nice.
Right. Excellent use. However, I was so hoping that would be the Pig Latin one, because come on, he would have had to say, Aid me, Eight lay, Eagle lay, Ute, Actus pray. I can't even do it. Hey, it's the Catholic Answers Game Show, and we're coming up. Well, I guess we're at the halfway point of round two. We're almost tied, but Moises is behind only because he's one question behind. So he'll get the first question as we come back from the break. See you then. Catholic Answers Live.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament. From the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important, this pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Monday on More to Life, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
What you want, baby, we got it. We're going to help you get a little respect.
That's Monday on More to Life. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
It's so nice to have our contestants in the studio with us, Megan and Moises, fighting it out for a fabulous room full of gifts and prizes. And it really is delightful. Thank you both for coming down and being with us here in the studio today.
Thanks for having us.
Was it hard to find us? Did you?
No, not at all.
The signage is very subtle. We don't want too many people to know that we're hiding in this building.
To be honest, the worst thing was the traffic coming down here.
Oh, would you have to come down like the I-5 or something? Or
you were the 15, right?
Oh, because you were in Escondido?
It's wherever Google Maps was taking me.
Oh, you don't even know. That's so funny.
Not really.
People don't know where they are anymore. It's like Google Maps says this is where I am.
Coming down the 15 from Escondido. From Escondido. It's brutal, man. I know. I drive it often.
All right, so we got your first question of the second round, Moises.
Oh, yes.
You ready? Oh, and I should allow the listening audience to know, we have a slight headphone problem in Moises' headphones, so if he has any, if he gets any questions wrong or anything, we're just probably going to declare him the winner and send Megan home. So I just want you to know that.
Okay.
I don't want you to give up, Megan, but I just want people to be aware that there's a slight headphone issue affecting Moises' performance. Moises, the earliest Christian church did not have A, special reverence for Mary. B, a sacrament for anointing the sick. C, a fully developed New Testament canon. For those playing at home, the earliest Christian church did not have A, a special reverence for Mary, B, a sacrament for anointing the sick, C, a fully developed New Testament canon.
Okay. How early do you mean?
I specifically said earliest.
Okay, the earliest, so then it would be C.
Nice.
Good job, Moises. Yeah, nicely. Yeah, very clever. Very good question, yeah.
Yeah, so, within, 15, 20 years, you start to get scripture because you have the letters of St. Paul, right? So
well, sure, you got the Gospels, right?
And then the Gospels shortly after that.
That's right, that's right. So you have the content of the New Testament, but there wasn't necessarily a settled, definitive canon of the New Testament. That developed, and there was debate about what was considered to be a part of the canon for several years. I mean, hundreds of years, all the way until the late of the 4th century. So you had New Testament documents like Philippians, 1 Timothy, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, doubted as to whether it was Scripture. And then other non-inspired historical Christian documents, such as the Epistle of Barnabas, and the Shepherd of Hermas, that some Christians thought were inspired.
Yeah.
So there was.
Seems like you need a church to settle all of this. It doesn't seem like sola scriptura would do it.
That would seem very reasonable, and that's why Jesus did give us the church. And then finally, you know, in the late 4th century, with Pope Damasus I and the Synod of Rome around, I think it was AD 382, is when you sort of have this, not necessarily definitive, but an authoritative, at least, codification of, you know, these books we consider to be inspired, and there wasn't much debate after that. That was sort of the consensus of what was taken to be the inspired scriptures and then infallibly defined later in the 16th century at the Council of Trent.
We should discuss this at our big conference September 26th through 29th at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla in beautiful sunny San Diego.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we should have the conference should be called The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that is what it's called. And early bird special is still going on until next Tuesday. CatholicAnswersConference.com. We'll discuss, we definitely will be discussing how the Catholic Church gave us what we call a little thing called the Bible. Did that come out wrong? Did it sound kind of snarky the way I said that? Sorry. Your question number two, Megan. Women in the early church, A, were, because of Jewish tradition, not permitted into official worship. B. Oh, man. I have the wrong one. Do you have the right one? Can I read it off yours? Or do you have the right?
I think what you meant to say was, number one, women in the early church were not permitted to participate
in worship.
In official worship.
Or B. I don't have a B, so I need you to help.
Oh, you don't have the B.
No.
Oh, you ready?
Yes.
B. Women in the early church were expected to love their enemies and pray for those who persecuted them. Or C, not permitted to participate in public ministry.
So which one were women in the church? Which of these is true about women in the church? They were not permitted to participate in official worship. They were expected to love their enemies and pray for those who persecuted them. Or they were not permitted to participate in public ministry. Which one? I know I've messed that up so many ways. Maybe you should just get him to do the...
I probably should just take that last lifeline.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready?
Yes.
Oh, man. Here we go. All right. You ready, Megan?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. Listen carefully. Irwei spectaeie ote ovele herte nemis...
I love the way you have an accent. No one else has an accent. It's like you
repe orfe thosete hoe ersecute pe himte.
Can you repeat that?
Oh yes. Megan is my favorite. I gotta give her a prize just for that. Here, this book is new from Jimmy Akin, the New Testament 20. Just for saying, can you repeat that? And no, he's not going to repeat it. It'll kill him. So, do you know what he was saying?
I believe that he was saying B. B.
Yes, very good.
That was pretty difficult. I don't know if I would have been able to follow that and be able to
But let me just tell you what the problem was. I wrote a question, and then I gave it to Carlo, and Carlo said, rewrite it. And the version that we have, and that's actually the version you read, is the one that I didn't rewrite. This was the bad version. Remember, you told me to take that part out and fix that. And it would have been much clearer the way Carlo told me to write it. So I have the unredacted version here. Sorry, but you got it right. And you just had to use a lifeline.
Oh, it was participate. That was the only thing. We just needed to say they weren't permitted to participate. And that's actually what I said, but that's not what's on the screen.
Right, exactly. We got to move on. Moises, your question number two.
Okay.
And your headphones, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Because I don't want to have to cancel Megan. This early church father was said to have been a disciple of St. John the Apostle. A. Eusebius of Caesarea, B, Colossus of Rhodes, or C, Polycarp of Smyrna. Again, for those playing at home, this early church father was said to have been a disciple of St. John the Apostle. A, Eusebius of Caesarea, B, Colossus of Rhodes, C, Polycarp of Smyrna.
C, Polycarp.
Oh, you couldn't just say, make him do that in like Pig Latin? You couldn't do that for me, Moises.
He could still do it.
Go ahead, Carlo.
Oli Corpepe.
Ooh, I'm going to start saying that.
Foe Myrnase.
Myrnase. And you are correct. It is Polycarp. Yeah, how do you know that? That's very obscure.
I studied early church two quarters ago.
Really?
Awesome. Father Anquito.
That seems awesome. Oh, you studied with a wonderful priest, too. And Megan just came into the church. This is, seems like bullying, really. I'm going to call this bullying.
I'm sorry.
The follow-up question is, where do we get that tradition from?
I don't actually know, but I think it's Ignatius. I think we get it from...
Close. Irenaeus.
Irenaeus.
Okay. Oh, good job, Derek.
He gave me the negative sound
actually,
effect.
Actually, both Irenaeus and Tertullian record that Polycarp had been a disciple of John the Apostle. That's where the tradition comes from.
It is wonderful
and if there's
to
any,
think of.
If there's any source earlier than Irenaeus, then I'd like to know as well. Right. I may be mistaken, but I know for sure Irenaeus and Tertullian.
Are you doing research now, or are we doing a radio show? Like, I'd like to know.
Radio show. Ready, set, go.
All right. Question number three to you, Megan. Wait. No, that's not the correct question number three. Okay, Megan. In his second letter, Peter says, we will one day, A, see the divine nature, B, touch the divine nature, C, share in the divine nature. For those playing at home, the question is this. In his second letter, Peter says, we will one day, A, see the divine nature, B, touch the divine nature, C, share in the divine nature.
I have no more lifelines, correct?
That is correct.
I'm all out.
And I can't cheat because it's not fair to Moises. I cheated before. I feel guilty, but I'm going to have to go see Father Hugh Barber after this.
I'm going to go with C, share in the divine nature. Yes.
Very good, Megan.
That was good.
It was even better because the way you phrased the question, it said Peter says we will one day partake of the divine nature. But in fact, what St. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, is that inasmuch as we come into Christ,
we are shares.
We partake of the divine nature. So it's not just something of the future, but it's a reality that we get to experience here and now inasmuch as we're in grace and members of the mystical body of Christ.
Quick point. I let you read that question before. You could have corrected me before we were on the air.
I missed it, man.
Thanks, Carlo Broussard. Is there any chance next time we do a game show, we could maybe get Tim Staples in here? Can we maybe schedule it now while we're on the air? We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back to finish the game show. We'll find out how Moises does with question number three, and then we'll see who's going on to their final judgment.
Hi, this is Philip Rivers, NFL quarterback, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
completely... As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It is the game show today. Our super secret celebrity guest is Carla Broussard. Our contestants are both local folks, Megan, who entered the church at the Easter season, and on whose behalf we have therefore been cheating, and Moises, who is a student at the wonderful Catholic University up the road from us, John Paul the Great Catholic University. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
And again, Moises is having a little trouble with his earphones, so I might have to cheat on his behalf. This is your last question of round two.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Moises, this gospel writer was probably writing what he had heard from St. Peter. One, or A, John, B, Luke, C, Mark. For those playing at home, this gospel writer was probably writing what he had heard from St. Peter. A, John, B, Luke, C, Mark.
I'm gonna
You have one lifeline. I just want to remind you of that in case. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but did that mess you up?
No. You know, I'll use it.
Okay. Which lifeline do you have left? You have the 50-50 or you have them both left?
I have both of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll do the Pig Latin one.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Arc me.
Okay. Mark.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say? Or no? You were unsure?
So, yeah. I was going to do Mark, but for a minute I thought Luke.
I was going to say.
I was like, no, because it can't be John.
It could be Luke in a way, because Luke says he asked a lot of people. He says right in the gospel. Right. So one of them could have been Peter, but Mark is apparently a disciple of Peter, right?
Yeah, well, we know from Eusebius records a quote from an early Christian writer, Papias, who tells us that Mark, having become the interpreter of Peter, wrote down accurately whatsoever he remembered. So that's where the tradition comes from.
Okay, so we are tied after two rounds. As a matter of fact, it's perfect scores for both of you so far. I don't recall perfect scores for both contestants before. It might have happened, but this is a very high IQ group. And so I tell you what, the person who one of you has to go home now. And well, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And the way we'll do that is Megan's going to pick one of these boxes, and then we do whatever it says inside that box. And the person who goes is going to get two really fine prizes. One is the CD from Carla Broussard called What Lies Beyond? Understanding Purgatory, Heaven, and Hell, which is available now at shop.catholic.com for download or in CD format. And you will also be getting a copy of Carla Broussard's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Carla doesn't even know this, but I stole this from him. It's a signed copy of Carla's book.
Wow.
Carla's book. So you're getting a signed copy of Carla's book, Prepare the Way. So Megan, it's pure chance now. So I can't help either one of you. I don't really want to help either one of you either. So Megan, just pick A or B.
I'm going to go with B.
B it is. Inside box B, it says, congratulations, you advance.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Bye.
Moises is so bummed. Let's see what A says, just so you know you didn't. Sorry, you do not advance.
Wait.
So it wasn't rigged.
No.
It wasn't rigged. Did you come in here before the show by any chance and take a look inside the boxes?
No, I actually picked that because I like gold better than silver.
Okay.
That was it.
Moises, here's your signed copy and your... And your
hey, wait a minute.
CD.
Do y'all change out the boxes?
Carlo. Doggone it, Carlo. We never have changed the boxes. It's always been if you pick B, you go on. But I didn't want to say that.
I didn't know
now,
that.
Now I don't know what to do for next time.
Darren's making notes.
All right, for next time, we're probably going to change it, but maybe not. I don't know. Moises, it wasn't cheating. She didn't know. All right. Thanks a lot, Carlo.
So do I just skedaddle on
that? Yeah. You can hang around. I mean,
thank you so much, brother.
You.
It was such a blast
sport.
Having
thank
you, man.
Really, thank you very much for coming down.
No, it was a pleasure being here.
Yeah, you can still hang out with us.
We should do a thing where a bunch of students from from your school, John Paul the Great Catholic University, come down, and we'll just do like open forum for John Paul the Great Catholic University.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Can you organize that?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right, good. You're leaving with two prizes. And a job. Thanks. Okay, it's time. Megan, it is time. Megan Luther.
Yes.
It is time for your final judgment.
Okay.
Are you ready for final judgment?
In the game, yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. It will be 7-2 true or false questions. Before each question, I will hold up a prize. If you get the question correct, you win the prize. Ooh. In addition, if you get all 7 correct, we have Erica Olson sitting right there, and she will present you with a free ticket, including dinner with Bishop Caggiano, to the Catholic Answers annual conference. The early church was the Catholic Church. Okay?
Wow.
You got to get all 7 correct, however.
Ooh, okay.
All right, what do I do with the prizes? Okay, here they are.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
When I hear Luther, I think of Lex Luthor before Martin Luther. Oh.
I was supposed to give that.
Did that like say something about me? Like I'm a superhero geek or something?
You're not very religious. I think I was supposed to give this to Moises too, huh? Should I give it to him or can I just keep it now? I mean, he doesn't know that he was going to get it. All right, Moises, you're supposed to get this too. It's a Catholic Answers mug and it's clean and wrapped in that because we never opened it. And I have to say this. You can't get that online. You can't go to the shop and buy one of those. You have to come into the studio to get one. So maybe later on eBay you can make some money with that. I don't know. All right, time for your final judgment. For your first question, you'll be playing for Inseparable. This was book of the year last year in my mind. 5 perspectives on sex, life, and love in defense of Humanae Vitae. It sounds like it's about contraception, but it's about so much more. It's about the fullness of living as a Catholic person. You're going to love it. I hope you win it. True or false? The earliest church liturgies were all in Latin. The earliest church liturgies were all in Latin. True or false?
False.
Good job, Megan. Oh.
You got that right. Why? What language were they in? I thought they were all in. I thought if you want to have a traditional mass, that has to be in Latin, Carlo.
Megan, which language did Jesus celebrate the first liturgy in?
Aramaic?
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Woo-hoo. What are they doing at the RCIA over at the Immaculata?
The Immaculata.
That is like the world class of... If you want to go to RCIA, go over to the Immaculata. Apparently, you learn everything over there. All right. So question number 2. You're still in the running for the ticket. Question number 2. You're playing for our good friend, Don Eden Goldstein's book, Sunday Will Never Be the Same, a rock and roll journalist opens her ears to God. Don is a wonderful person, and this is a fantastic read. It's kind of a memoir, kind of a story of conversion. You'll love it. True or false, Jesus prophesied that the temple would be destroyed, and in 70 AD, it was. True or false, Jesus prophesied that the temple would be destroyed, and in 70 AD, it was.
True.
Amen to that.
Man, no fear there. You're still in the running.
Woo-hoo.
Ready? This time you're playing for Counterfeit Christs, Trent Horn's brand new book, Counterfeit Christs, Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters.
Her answer was the real Jesus. He did prophesy.
Yeah,
he
that's
came
right.
to fulfill.
Exactly. That was the real Jesus. Whenever we're giving away Trent's books, I always have to say this. You don't have to accept it if you don't want it. Okay? Question number 3, true or false?
Poor Trent.
In the early 300s, Eusebius gave a list of the popes going back to Peter. Number three, true or false? In the early 300s, Eusebius gave a list of the popes going back to Peter.
Oh, gosh.
True or false?
I'm just going to have to flip a coin. True.
Woo! Good coin. Oh,
my
flip.
Gosh. And you're still in the running for the free tickets.
Right.
Amazing.
That was a pretty difficult question because Irenaeus gives us the first list in AD 180.
Okay.
And then Eusebius repeats that list in his writings. So that was a pretty tricky question. Good job. That was a good guess.
All right, question number four. You're playing for this tote bag that you can keep your books in.
How
it's
cute.
The Catholic Answers to Explain and Defend the Faith tiny tote bag. And if you, I'm going to give another one to Moises.
I was about to say. You're
going to play for one for Moises and one for you. And you can keep, I don't know what, they're small.
Like
anyways.
All right, one book?
We're getting near the end, though. I got to go quicker. True or false, the earliest non-biblical... Start again. True or false, the earliest non-biblical Christian text is probably the Didache, written before the year 100. Megan, true or false, the earliest non-biblical Christian text is probably the Didache, written before the year 100.
True.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, good job.
She's
good
killing
job.
It.
Yeah, right.
One of those is for Moises.
AD
you won a bag for Moises.
AD 70.
All right. Number five, true or false... The Didache says that people must be baptized in cold water. True or false? The Didache says that people must be baptized in cold water. You're playing for Made This Way.
False?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Good
it
job.
Is false. Yes.
It actually says cold or hot.
Yeah, you can. It pretty much says, look, baptize this way. If you can't do it that way, do it this way. If you can't do it that way, do it this way. It's like yep. five different ways to baptize.
And pouring water three times upon the head is mentioned as well as yeah. one of the means.
Right. Okay, now you're playing. I've run out of things over here. So now you're playing for. Well, you're still in the running for the ticket. But wait, no, I got a better thing than this. I'm going to get a book off the shelf over here. It's called The Apostasy That Wasn't. This is perfect for this show. Tell her about The Apostasy That Wasn't while I go get it. This is Rod Bennett's book.
Yeah, it's a great book, great read that tells you basically what the title embodies, The Apostasy That Wasn't, that the church never fell into a great apostasy to where the church had to be like sort of underground for all of these many, many centuries, but that the church was, as Christ promised, to be indefectible and not lose its true identity.
Rod Bennett, by the way, will be at the conference, and you're still in the running for the ticket to the conference. He'll be talking about the book. You can go to CatholicAnswersConference.com if you're not Megan and you want to go. Megan, true or false, early Christians never referred to women as deacons or apostles. Megan, true or false, early Christians never referred to women as deacons or apostles.
Oh, gosh. I don't have any lifelines in this round, do I? True? Oh, no!
Man, that's a tough one right there, brother.
I was second-guessing myself on that one.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah. Phoebe's referred to as a deaconess in Romans 16:1 just because she was a servant, and the Greek word simply means a servant. And as far as the apostles part, that's a tricky one because in Romans 16:7, you have an individual named Junius or Junia mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it says, Paul says, greet Andronicus and Junia. They are well known, as the Greek suggests, among the apostles. So there's an indication. Mm-hmm. It's not like one of the apostles among the 12.
Yeah. So,
but just apostle.
Yeah. So,
that's
however,
a tough one, man.
I can read like her expressions. We've worked together for quite a while, me and Erica, and her expression said, "Let her play for the ticket." I could see it. Was that your expression? She says, "Sure."
Thank you so much.
Okay,
Erica.
So you're still playing for the ticket, and you could play for the same book too. All right, so you can win the book and the ticket. If you get this one correct.
If I get this last one.
All right, this is your last question.
Okay.
Oh, time's up. I'm sorry. We don't have any more time. No, just kidding. Megan, true or false, early Christians were forbidden by the church to worship idols. Megan, true or false, early Christians were forbidden by the church to worship idols.
True.
What's up? You won. Woo. I wish we had cheering sound effects like we do when Nick's here. Woo.
Good job, Megan.
Yay. Oh, look at that.
Stepping up.
He found the cheering. Again, Moises and Megan, thank you both. Megan, congratulations on your haul.
Yeah.
You're probably going to need another bag.
I might need a bigger bag.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I know you just get multiple bags because I don't have a bigger bag.
And welcome home.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
How wonderful. What a good example you are for the RCIA.
Thanks.
Amen. Yeah, amen to that.
You're a poster child for the RCIA. And Moises, really, you're going to organize that thing. We're going to have a bunch of students come down from the university, and we'll do John Paul the Great Catholic University. University Open Forum one day.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, very good. Oh, what? I did not know this. Erica Olson says Moises gets a free ticket to the conference as well.
Hey.
Congratulations, Moises, because you were perfect. You got a perfect score, so she gave.
That's true.
Awesome.
Wait, and Cy gets a free pizza. No? Okay, no, nothing. Nothing doing there. Carla Broussard.
Hey, man.
Congratulations on your book, Prepare the
Thank
Way.
Thank you, brother.
On your new CD.
Thank you.
Which is called?
What Lies Beyond.
What Lies Beyond. It's a spooky title.
And new book coming up in the fall, Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.